From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, we'll hear another message in the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, a series preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is called Home Blessings Extended. The text is Psalm 128 and verse 5. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. This is a promise to the God-fearing man who walks in the ways of holiness with earnest heed. He shall have domestic blessedness. His wife and children shall be a source of great home happiness. But then, as a member of the church, he desires to see the cause prosper, for he is as much concerned for the Lord's house as for his own. When the Lord builds our house, it is but fitting that we should desire to see the Lord's house builded. Our goods are not truly good unless we promote by them the good of the Lord's chosen church. Yes, you shall get a blessing when you go up to the assemblies of Zion. You shall be instructed, enlivened, and comforted where prayer and praise ascend, and testimony is borne to the great sacrifice. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Nor shall you alone be profited. The church itself shall prosper. Believers shall be multiplied, and their holy work shall be crowned with success. Certain gracious men have this promise fulfilled to them as long as they live. Alas! When they die, the cause often flags. Let us be among those who bring good things to Jerusalem all their days. Lord, of thy mercy, make us such. Amen.
Perfect. Purge our hearts from sin. Jason and Corinne. Would we wait one year, let thy kingdom come.
Hallowed be thy name on earth, as in heaven that thy will be done.
One of the most precious gifts God has given to mankind is the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. For those in the English-speaking world, the ability to own a copy of God's Word is taken for granted. Indeed, many of us possess multiple copies of the Bible. Yet, this was not always the case. There was a time when attempts to translate the Bible into the language of the common people were met with persecution and even death. Men like John Wycliffe and William Tyndale were hunted like outlaws simply because they labored to give God's Word to people in the language they could understand. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available a booklet that briefly traces the history of those efforts. Entitled, How We Got Our English Bible, this short publication tells the story of the development of the authorized version of the Scriptures as we know it, including the enormous impact of the invention of printing upon the spreading of God's Word. Published by the Trinitarian Bible Society, this booklet is free to all who request it. Simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of How We Got Our English Bible, and we'll be happy to provide it. This week, Dr. Cairns has been dealing with the theme, The Completeness and Consequences of Christ's Victory Over the Tempter, part of this series in the life and earthly ministry of Christ. We've seen that the first of the three named temptations was an effort to get Christ to use his divine power for his own comfort. In the second temptation, Satan wanted Christ to demonstrate his power over death, to cause the multitudes to accept him without the ordeal of the cross. In the final temptation, Satan sought to get the Savior to worship him in exchange for the kingdoms of the world. But those kingdoms were already Christ's by divine right. To worship Satan would have turned Jesus into an antichrist. Satan failed and had to leave in defeat. It is through the blood of Christ's cross and the use of the Word of God that we defeat the devil. Now, Dr. Cairns concludes this message, The Completeness and Consequences of Christ's Victory Over the Tempter.
Some of you with good memories will remember this, but a number of years ago, I linked two texts of Scripture. One concerning the woman who was bent over double. She was bound by Satan. And it says that she could in no wise lift herself up. The Greek text simply says she was unable to the uttermost. You have the very parallel statement in Hebrews chapter 7. He is able to the uttermost. You have the inability of man, and you have the power of God. Now, that's still the situation today. Men and women are unable to the uttermost by the depravity of sin, by the corruption of evil, by the power of Satan, by the temptation that the flesh gives into. They are unable to the uttermost to set themselves free. They're unable to the uttermost to save themselves. They're unable to the uttermost to be holy and upright and godly. They're unable to the uttermost to escape the wrath of God. But He is able to the uttermost to save them that believe. He's able to save them that come unto God by Him. And when He saves them, He is able, Jude 24 says, to keep you from falling. Now understand that. That's not pie in the sky. That's not some overblown, overstated, hopeful promise. That's a statement of absolute fact. If that's not true, then you can take the whole Bible and throw it out. Because if that can't be depended on, how could you believe that God is and God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him? How could you believe, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life? This is just a statement that's of absolute simplicity and factuality. He is able to keep you from falling. Now understand the context. Some people want to divorce this from its context, and if you're not living sinlessly perfect, then they want to wrap you up in the bondage of guilt and tell you that somehow you're not seeing this fulfilled. Jude is writing against the background of apostasy. And the fall that he's talking of is a falling away from Christ. He's talking about such a fall as he describes in the earlier verses of his little epistle. And he's saying, listen, when God saves you, He keeps you. Christ didn't shed His blood for you to forget about you. He didn't redeem you to abandon you. He is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. That's what He's able to do. I want to tell you that's what He's going to do in every case. But He's able to keep you. Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Satan wants to get at every Christian. Never forget that we are wrestling against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are wrestling, and the wrestling is hand-to-hand combat. It's not war with the devil using smart missiles. It's hand-to-hand combat. It's toe-to-toe between the Christian and the powers of hell. We wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies. But he's able. He's able. He has given us a full armor. Sometime I'll maybe get to go through Ephesians, or Mr. Braham or Dr. Barrett, one of us will get to go through Ephesians and deal with the armor. From head to toe, he's got us covered. The word for the armor is a panoply. The total armor. The total cover. The complete and utter protection of the people of God. But listen, he says to you, put on that panoply. Now let me be brutally frank with you. Don't come moaning, I'm not living in the victory. If you've cast aside the armor, you've closed the book of God, you've filled your mind with all the stupidity and the filth of the world, you've more time for the things of the world, you've time for pleasure, time for business, time for friends, time for everything and anything, but no time for the book, no time for the prayer meeting, no time to set aside with God from day to day, and you say, somehow I'm not living in victory. Could you think that you were dealing with a sane person if he was at the North Pole and he cast off all his garments and said, I wonder why I'm shivering? Man, let's talk sense. Let's talk honesty. Put on the armor. It's not there to be looked at. It's not there to be admired. It's not there to be debated. It's not there to be talked about. It's there to be put on. Put it on. He has made provision for us. He's still doing this. Saving sinners. Breaking the power of sin. Making drunkards sober. Immoral people pure. Blasphemers. Receive tongues that speak to the glory of God. Sinners are made into saints. He takes the prey from the mighty. He's still at the same work. And then he goes even further through Paul, and he says in Romans 16:20 that he will bruise Satan under your feet shortly. He'll crush him under your feet shortly. He's not finished even there. For he's coming back again. And when he returns, according to Revelation chapter 19, he returns as the faithful and true, the one who is called the Word of God. He is the rider on the white horse, the pure and holy conqueror of Satan and all his temptations. Revelation 19, we read how he takes issue with the beast, the Antichrist, and the kings who support him, and defeats them utterly. Then in Revelation 20, verses 2 and 3, and then verse 10, we read, he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit. Verse 10, the devil was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And that's the rest of the story. That's the end of the story. What Christ began in the wilderness of temptation,
he will put into eternal execution, when as the Word of God, he lays hold of the old dragon, the serpent, the devil, whose eternity will be in the dark defeat of hell. So it was no small victory that the Lord Jesus won in the wilderness all those years ago. He set Satan on a run that has never ceased, and it will not stop until it leads him right into the lake of fire. So there's a certain victory, a sure victory for God's purposes, for God's people. And there's hope for the most oppressed. There's strength for the weakest believer. And there's deliverance for the greatest captive. I often like to think of what the Lord Jesus said to Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road. When he saved him, he commissioned him to go forth to the Gentiles. Remember, the Gentile nations were heathen nations. In Paul's words later to the Corinthians, they worshiped devils. They worshiped devils. I would to God that every professor of comparative religion in our institutes of higher learning would understand that Paul, inspired by the Holy Ghost, knows a whole lot more than they do. These religions are not alternate religions, alternate ways of approaching the one true God. Paul says in every other religion, the worship is the worship of the devil. And if that's extreme, then I am very, very happy to be an extremist. I'd rather be extremely in agreement with God than extremely in disagreement with God. But that's another story for another day. This is what he said: I'm sending you out to these people who are worshiping devils to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That commission still stands. Jesus says, I have conquered Satan. Now go out, and I will let you see through your ministry. Blind eyes opened. Bound souls freed. I will let you see the ungodly. Become the godly. Sanctified through faith in me. May God give us today something of an understanding of the completeness and the consequences of Christ's triumph over the tempter, that we ourselves may live in the light of that triumph and go out and witness in its power and see Christ through us extend his kingdom and keep on delivering the prey from the mighty, bringing people from the power of Satan unto God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for our Savior, Jesus Christ. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. We thank thee for the triumphant Christ of God. We rejoice in his victory over Satan and all the wiles and wickedness of the devil in the wilderness of temptation. We thank thee that it was not Christ who had to quit the field in defeat. It was Satan who quitted the field in defeat. And we thank Thee that our Savior went forth in the power of the Spirit. We thank Thee that He is still going forth conquering and to conquer. Lord, give many conquests of grace in lives in this meeting this morning. Save the lost, we pray. And, oh God, we pray, give Your own people the victory of true holiness and separation unto the Lord. So hear our prayer. Take our thanks again for the Son of God who did all that He did in our place, working out for us a perfect righteousness. Part us now with Thy blessing. May the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Grant that Thy grace, Thy mercy, and Thy peace will be our abiding portion both this Sabbath morning and evermore. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.